This is the Gospel according to John 1:43-51. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, the son of Joseph of Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Truly, this is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. The title of my sermon for this morning is "The Day I Was Absent from Fourth Grade." Won't you join with me in prayer? O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today, I can't believe that I am sharing with you my last official sermon as the current senior pastor of Mary E. Wilson Memorial Union Church, Watchung, New Jersey. Needless to say, this all feels so official, so big. Let me say at the outset that when I get to the end of my sermon, I know I'll still be thinking, "Oh, I wish I had more time to say this," or, "Oh, I wish I had more time to say that." Just know there is a lot in me I would love to share, a lot. Yet I've had to narrow down all my reflecting, all my pondering, all my musings to one central theme. And the theme which I would like to explore with you today is this: the joy of being what I want to call opportunity bearers for each other. You are an opportunity bearer, you know. It is sacred work, God's work. You are an opportunity bearer in life, and you have done that sacred work for me in my time at Wilson. Please know that. My prayer is that all of us can continue to be inspired to do this extraordinarily good work in whatever way God leads us in the days to come. When we take our impact as opportunity bearers seriously, I believe we are truly being what St. Teresa of Avila called Christ's hands and feet in the world. I want to share with you a really formative experience I had years and years ago now, an experience that certainly paved the way for all my thinking about this. I remember it like it was yesterday. The year was 1966, and I was in the fourth grade. In the spring of that year, I happened to be absent from one day of school because I was sick. One day. And when I returned to school the next day, I found out that on the day I was absent, all the kids in my fourth grade class had been invited to let the music teacher know if they wanted to learn to play an instrument the following year.
in order to be in the 5th and 6th grade band. Not only that, they got to choose the instrument they wanted to learn. But I hadn't been in school that day. I was skipped over. Looking back, I think it's more than interesting that no one followed up and said to my 10-year-old self, "By the way, this happened the day you were absent from school. Would you now like to choose an instrument so that you could play in the band?" If someone had, I would have said, "I really want to play the flute." That was the instrument all the girls my age wanted to play. The music teacher never followed up and asked me. My regular teacher didn't either, so somehow my kid brain thought, "I've lost out. I've missed the boat forever." I can't believe it now, but at the time, I never even thought to say anything to my parents. Anything like, "Gee, all the kids got to choose an instrument to play the day I was absent." I was convinced that what was done was done. I went for a few years feeling that I was just super unlucky, and there wasn't anything I could do. I never pursued playing in the school band after that, even though as I got older, I probably could have figured out how to do it. But I guess the spark that had needed fostering when the time was right just died out. All of us can think of times when we missed opportunities simply because we needed someone else around to open the door for us. The circumstances called for that. The time in our life was such that it would have been the only way we would have been able to move in a particular direction. The wisdom of life experience shows us how important others are in this way, how pivotal, how life-changing, how basically huge. And hopefully, we've experienced others being around for us, opening doors for us to step through just when we needed them to. Maybe they have been the Phillips in our lives. Philip, the one we heard about in our passage today, with the one with deliberation and intention goes and finds Nathanael sitting under the fig tree. Philip doesn't overlook Nathanael. He doesn't think, "Oh, well, Nathanael wasn't with the rest of us when we met Jesus. He was absent that day. He missed his chance." He searches for him and feels called to say to him, "Come and see." I hope you can take some time to really think about who has been like Philip for you. Think about those who took time and care and attention to draw you into some greater experience of who you could be just when you needed them to. Fast forward with me to the year 1978. I was a religion major in college. Not a real popular major to have. I loved majoring in religion, and there was, as you might imagine, a really small cadre of students in this extremely small department in my liberal arts college. We were a tight-knit bunch. My main professor at the time, Dr. David Cartledge, I looked up to as a mentor. And he said words to me one day that left me rather speechless. He said, "Have you ever thought about becoming ordained?" My first initial reaction was a lot like Nathanael's reaction to Philip, who, when Philip said, "Come and see," he said, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I felt a huge amount of questioning in me as well. I was closed off, very skeptical about whether even the possibility of the life of an ordained minister suited me. I thought, can anything good come out of it? Because, for one thing, and this is a really big thing, I had never even really known personally any clergy women working in parish ministry. You have to know that they were few and far between back in 1978. I had no role models, none. I had no way of seeing myself take on a path that I never saw other women in my life taking on. I mean, back then, being a minister meant being a man, more often than not. I'm just telling it like it was. And then, of course, there were all the other added questions I had, not the least of which was, would God even want this purpose for me? But as I sat with Dr. Cartledge's question in my head and in my heart, and sit with it for a long time, I did. I realized that there had been something about the way my college professor invited me with this question that caused, over time, a discernible change to happen inside me, a change which eventually allowed me to feel what I can only describe as a gnawing, an intuition, a recognition of a possibility I couldn't name. And I grew to see that gnawing, that intuition, that recognition of a possibility that I couldn't even name, as God speaking in a way that wouldn't let me go. Much in the way God, through Jesus, wouldn't let Nathanael go. Remember, after Philip first paved the way for Nathanael, Jesus himself calls to him. And Nathanael eventually allows himself to be counted among the disciples. Jesus helps him be simply who he needed to be. Many amazing and sacred opportunities followed me after eventually being ordained back in 1981, 40 years ago. This year. I know many of the doors would not have opened up if it had not been for someone else saying, in effect, come and see. Come and find out. Case in point. Little did I know what the future held when Ron Miller said, come and see, by asking me to lead a Bible study at Wilson Memorial back in around 1995. I didn't even know anything about our church at that point. How hard this is still for me to believe. Incredible, incredible for me to believe. The rest is history. As they say, God certainly moves in mysterious ways. Being with all of you has been one sacred opportunity after another. I have seen the hand of God leading you as you have invited me into and welcomed me into your lives in ways too numerous to count, ways I will always cherish. And what I've seen is through the years, we've mutually held out sacred opportunities for each other. We've experienced big things together and little things. We've even experienced challenges that tested the fabric of our congregation. We've grown and changed and deepened. And all the while, you have held doors open for me to walk through and find the new thing on the other side. For that, I will always be grateful. I've hopefully held doors open for you as well. Along the way, we've felt the heartache of losing some of our beloved members. And we've found ourselves holding doors open for each other pretty much at the same time in order to make room for our grief. We've pressed on and kept going as we've discerned God's invitation through each other. In this way, being with you, dear friends, has been one sacred opportunity of immense proportions, and you have made it so. So as I said at the beginning, my prayer is that all of us can continue to be inspired to do that extraordinarily good work of being opportunity bearers in whatever way God leads in the days to come. Sacred opportunity bearers. It is sacred work. When we take our impact seriously, I believe we truly are being what St. Teresa called Christ's hands and feet in the world. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much, dear Mary E. Wilson Memorial Union Church. Much love and peace. Amen.